We're going to study tonight. As y'all know, I teach a Bible basics of first principles class, and one of the things that we studied about was the differentiations between the two covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We talked about the Old Testament dispensation, New Testament dispensation, and so this lesson, this particular lesson regarding the Old Testament and the New Testament, but is specifically going to highlight that. Now I'm gonna use an acronym, PPK. The Christ is the PPK. What does that mean? He's a prophet, priest, and king. And so we're going to look at the priesthood and the Old Testament, and we're going to look at the priesthood under the new dispensation and kind of compare and contrast and remind you of who you are under the New Testament dispensation and what God expects of you as a priest. Now, so as discussed under the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, Law of Moses or the Mosaic Law, Law of Moses was given by God to Moses at Mount Sinai, and God instructed Moses to set up a priesthood under the tribe of Levi, and Aaron, brother of Moses, was the first. He was identified and ordained as the first high priest of Israel under the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law, and we know after that decision was made by Moses and God commanded him to do so. There were other priests that were selected and identified and they were given different duties and various responsibilities. There were thousands of priests appointed from this tribe who were set apart as priests in service to God. And maintaining the tabernacle, as we know, they had a tent tabernacle that moved around with them when they were in the wilderness, and then later once they went into the promised land and got established, God ordered Solomon to build a temple according to God's specifications. So the tabernacle or the temple was erected to allow the priests to go in and make the various sacrifices. There was a certain way that needed to be done. So under the law of Moses, the priests were responsible for offering up sacrifices in worship to God and on the behalf of the people. We're mindful of the high priest who went into the most holy place and who was properly adorned, as far as his outward appearance, but also his mental or his spiritual appearance, had to go in and offer up a sin offering once a year for all the souls for all the people. So the priests were responsible for the sacrifices and worship to God. Let's look at some samplings of this. Go in your Bibles in the Old Testament to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23, I'll start reading at verse 1, and we'll highlight a few things and then look at a few things in chapter 24, and then we'll look at some other Old Testament books that kind of highlights what the priest did. 1 Chronicles 23, starting at verse 1, it says, "So when David was old and full of days, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. And he gathered together all the leaders of Israel with the priests and Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and above, and the number of of individual males was 38,000. Of these, 24,000 were to look after the work of the house of the Lord. 6,000 were officers and judges. 4,000 were gatekeepers, and 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments, which I made, said David, for giving praise. Also, David separated them into divisions among the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, Merari, of the Gershonites, Ladian, and Shimei, the sons of Ladan, the first, Jehiel, then Zetham, and Joel, three in all. The sons of Shimei, Shulamith, Haziel, and Haran, three in all. These were the heads of the fathers of the houses of Ladian. So it continues to identify and group and name these priests and give them duties. If you drop down to verse 24, it says of the same chapter, these were the sons of Levi by their fathers' houses, the heads of the fathers' houses, as they were counted individually by the number of their names, who did the work for the service of the house of the Lord, from the age of 20 years and above. For David said, the Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also to the Levites, they shall no longer carry the tabernacle or any of the articles for its service. For by the last word of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above. Now, looking and moving over to chapter 24, this particular grouping and division and organizing of the priests continued. If we go to the first part of chapter 24, it says, now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests. Then David with Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar divided them according to the schedule of their service. And so if you drop down towards the end of that chapter, it says in verses 30 and 31, it says that also the sons of Mushi were Mali, Eder, and Jeremoth. These were the sons of the Levites according to their father's houses. These also cast lots, just as their brothers and the sons of Aaron did in the presence of King David, Zadok, Ahimelech, and the heads of the fathers' houses of the priests and the Levites. The chief fathers did just as the younger brethren. And turning your Bibles now to go back and turn to Exodus chapter 28. So I'm just giving you a sampling of what the priests were responsible for and what they were ordered to do by Moses, who got his instructions from Jehovah God. And so let's look at Exodus chapter 28 and verses 1 through 5. Now, I'm not in any hurry, so I'm going to give you time to get there. Exodus 28, 1 through 5. Now, take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me and the priests. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. And so they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, and he may minister to me as priest. They shall take the gold, blue, and purple and scarlet thread and fine linen. So it goes on to, and then it breaks down each part of that uniform, if you will, that Aaron had to wear, and also the other Levite priests. And there's a certain way that was made. And drop down to in that same chapter to verse 39, it says, the same chapter, you shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of woven work. For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness, and they shall reach from the waist to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. So it goes on and on. There's other scriptures that I want to turn to here. I'm going to turn to Leviticus, and let's go to Leviticus chapter 1. So I'm just establishing that there were specific way that the things they had to wear, and even they had to wash themselves and consecrate themselves before they went into the temple. Leviticus chapter 1, it says, now the Lord called to Moses and spake to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when anyone of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock, of the herd and of the flock. In his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd. Let him offer a male without blemish, and he shall offer it on his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord and the priest. Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So we see that there were certain types of offerings that they were required to give. There was sin offerings. There were grain offerings. There were peace offerings. There were sin offerings. There was trespass offerings. So there were a lot of things that they had to do to maintain the tabernacle in order to execute or to have worship with the Lord. The people brought the sacrifices to the priests, and the priests prepared it. And the last thing I want to point out, and then we'll go a little bit further, is in Leviticus 16, it talks about, turn over to Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16. Starting at verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, and when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died, and the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat, and Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull and a sin offering and a ram and a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body, and he shall be girded and with a linen sash and with linen turban. He shall be attired. These are holy garments, therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats and a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. So I cited that to identify that they had to cleanse themselves, they had to consecrate themselves. And so we could read on and on about the in the book of Leviticus, specifically outlines the responsibilities that the priest had under the Old Testament. It gives instructions to the priest that they had to adhere to or to follow from the way they had to clean and purify themselves, the way they had to adorn and dress themselves, and the way they had to prepare the sacrifices to offer worship to God. Now, I know I've been lecturing here. Brother Townsend, go ahead.
You know, the thing that always impressed me in the Old Testament was the high degree of specificity which God gave. I mean, this was not just worship me some way, somehow that you dream up. This was very specific. Yet in the New Testament, especially in the modern world, well, it's close enough. You know, we'll give God, you know, what we think he should have. Mm-hmm. And God is so different. He expects exactly what he says.
Yes, sir. So God is a spirit, John 4:24, John is a spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I like that word, brother, specificity. God was specific in the Old Testament about how he wanted to be glorified. He's specific under the New Testament, under the New Testament dispensation as well, as far as how worship should happen. Now, as we discussed previously, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins, as we know that those sacrifices had to be offered, the sin offerings had to be had to be offered once a year by the high priest, and those sins were moved forward each year until the time Jesus came to the earth, to this earth and to be offered as a sin offering, and when that happened, Jesus's blood went backwards, as you know, and it continues to go forward, which cleanses anyone who obeys the gospel today. So as we we discussed this in our first principles class. Now, to look at some New Testament scriptures and talk about the priesthood in the New Testament, Christ's blood is able to sanctify and wash away the sins of the penitent, obedient believer under the New Testament dispensation, under the law of Christ. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, and it's going to tell us about how better the as far as the way we worship that it is a lot better. It's a lot simpler, more simplified, and it allows us to participate as priests ourselves. Hebrews 10. Starting at verse 1, Hebrews 10, starting at verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. That's under the Old Testament. But it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice or offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. You had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written to do your will, O God. So it's talking about the coming of the high priest, Jesus Christ, who offered up himself as an atonement sacrifice. Go to Romans 3 and 22 through, let's read Romans 3, verse 22. Starting in verse 22. Romans 3, starting at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith, Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, in whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate as the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and that the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. So where is boasting then? Is excluded by the law or works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So we see that we're justified by the blood of Christ through the sacrifice that Christ made. Currently in this day and age, we are under the law of Christ in today, which is the New Testament dispensation of the Christian age. Our worship to God under the New Testament is a lot more simplified and straightforward and practical compared to all the methods and the rituals. We saw some samplings of that were required under the Old Testament. Now, we do not need to find a Levitical priest today to offer worship to God, because each individual Christian, get this, each individual Christian, you and I, who have obeyed the gospel and have added the Lord's, been added to the Lord's body, his church, is a priest. We are all priests. Every Christian is a priest under the law of Christ, under the New Testament period, which is now. Let's go to Ephesians 5:25, and then we'll look at 1 Peter. Ephesians 5:25, I think we probably can quote that from memory. Whoever gets that first, go ahead and read it.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to her, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself the glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Okay, so that establishes that Christ is the head of the church, and we're sanctified through the blood and the water. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This tells us that we are priests as well. First Peter 2, 9 and 10. And someone go ahead and read that for me, please.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, your own special people, that you may proclaim the truth of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once served you, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
So we are the priests. We offer the sacrifice, which is ourselves. We are the ones that are conducting the worship. We're the ones that have to sacrifice. Again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Brother Orin just read Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Set your affections on things which are above, not on things on the earth. And so we have to sanctify ourselves, because we, as members of the church and the member of his body, or the priests that are offering up the worship, each Christian who is a member of the Lord's church and assembles, participates in the worship. So every member of the Lord's church is responsible for offering their own spiritual sacrifices up to God on the first day of the week at our Sunday services. And we must be active participants during our worship assemblies. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, that tells us that to not to forsake assembling of ourselves together on the first day of the week. And something I'm going to point out real quick, I'm not going to get on the tangent because we just got about three minutes, is that we want to respect God as Jehovah and as Lord and Savior. So let's try to get here before worship starts, because when we get here late, we're disrespecting Jehovah. When we arrive here 5 or 10 minutes late, and then we have some people that come late and they leave early. Don't you know that you're disrespecting God by doing that, by just coming in? And so we all need to work hard in that area to make sure that we are here and that we are participating in offering spiritual sacrifices to God. So I mentioned John 4 and 24. We have to worship God with the right, and we need to be in the right frame of mind and have the right attitude. Now, we looked at how the priests had to adorn themselves, right? They had to adorn themselves outwardly, and also they had to prepare their minds. Now, we need to keep that in mind when we're coming to worship God, that we need to give God our best. I'm not saying that we're going to come here in a tuxedo and some Stacey Adams shoes, you know, trying to think of a name brand hat here. It's not coming to mind. But, you know, we have all the fancy clothing. I'm saying that we need to make sure that we're not coming here in a T-shirt that says something political or talks about a band. We're walking here with shorts and flip-flops on. That is just not congruent with what we're trying to do to worship God. Also, we must worship in the manner that has already been commanded and specified by God. And so we can read Acts 20 and 7 and Hebrews 12, 28. Now, something I just want to mention, because we're pretty much out of time, is that we are priests under the Melchizedekian priesthood. Under Melchizedek, that's where we line up as far as a lineage, because Christ is the PPK. He's the proper priest and king. Under the Melchizedek priesthood, and so let's look at a few scriptures. I'm going to look at Psalms 110 and 4, and then I'm going to turn to Hebrews real quick, and we'll be out of time. But we're not under the Levitical priesthood. We are priests under the Melchizedekian priesthood. So turn to Psalms 110 and 4. Psalms 110 and 4. Whoever, if somebody's already there, go ahead and read it, because I'm...
The Lord has sworn, and our priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Okay, go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6.
As he said in another place, thou art a priest forever after.
Okay, and continuing to read there, brother. Read verses 8 through 10 for me, Brother Joe.
So he were a son that learned his obedience by the things which he suffered. He made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
And write down, and you can study this at home, Hebrews chapter 7. And the first part of that chapter talks about that as well. So under the divine authority of God, under the righteousness of Melchizedek, he was a high priest and a king of Salem, and he was a righteous man way back during that time, and he blessed Abraham. When Abraham first started out, Melchizedek existed and had a relationship with God. Go ahead, Brother Orr.
Those who maybe want to know who Melchizedek was, it's Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 and following.
Very good. Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through verse 24. Thank you, brother. Yeah, I had skipped over that one. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. Genesis chapter 14, 17 through 24. So that concludes our study for tonight. Let us end with a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had to briefly look at a few scriptures, Father, that identify the way things were done in the Old Testament, but especially now the way that things are done under the New Testament age, which we are currently under, and let us realize that we are priests. We have responsibilities to conduct ourselves as a priest, not only here while we're assembled, but also when we're out in the world. Let us continue to be lights unto the world and strive to be ambassadors and representatives of Christ in every facet of our lives and every place that we go. Continue to be with us, be with Brother Obed, who's traveling, could be traveling tonight or early in the morning. Give him safe passes and a safe journey back to San Antonio. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.